Well, good morning, family. It's good to see everybody. And for those that are online, thank you for tuning in and listening. If you have any questions about what we talk about, you can get a hold of me through the website. It's got my address on it. For those of you that are here, thank you for those that helped yesterday. That was an awesome day. Brenda, sounds good to have records being set. And just, I love the story in the paper. I think that got some attention from people that the money just doesn't go into the pastor's pocket. It just doesn't go into some staff member's pocket. It's going to a worthy cause. And I know it's appreciated up at Illinois, and it's appreciated here at EIU and all the schools that they help cover. InterVarsity does a great service for our community, for our ministry, for our world, and it's a real blessing. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and we're going to talk about blessings even more. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for the church, and I thank you for our believers, our members, our fellow believers that are here, our family of believers, Lord, that trust in you every day for their livelihood, for their work, for their ministries, for their families, for their health, for their success. All the little blessings that every day we count on, Lord, that you provide. Father, thank you for our church and a place that we can hold sacred and a place of worship to honor you. Thank you, Father, that we can gather here openly and speak the truth and to share the good news and to read the Bible together openly. Father, thank you that we live in a country that protects those freedoms and allows us to worship openly. So, Father, there's places and brothers and sisters around the world in the family of believers that can't. And, Lord, we pray for them, and we pray for their persecution. We pray for those churches and their struggles. Lord, let us never take for granted that the freedoms we have came at a cost. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. As we celebrate Labor Day this weekend, we thank you for being able to work for you and to work on your behalf. And as Carrie said, we work every day as if we're working for you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And all God's people said, amen. There's a great song, Count All Our Blessings, Small and Large. And it's a hymn that's been around for a long time. And our message today is similarly, talking about blessings big and small. It's hard today to look you in the eye and talk about all the things that are going on in the world and say, how can all these things that are happening, good or bad, big or small, be called blessings? There are crazy things that are happening in our world, amen? All you have to do is look to Minnesota and just what happened up there at the Catholic Church and the school where the crazed shooter went through a window and shot and killed two kids, wounded others, and just, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Some of us, I'm in a conversation with my little brother who's dealing with my big brother and dealing with his health issues and the up and downs of health. And we know how sensitive and delicate that balance is for us. One day you could be, everything's fine and dandy. Marcia, to hear about it was your niece, correct? Yeah. Okay. Just doing her job faithfully, doing what she's supposed to be doing. And the next minute you're in a hospital and you're in a bed or you're being taken away in an ER in a vehicle. The suddenness of change and the calamities of life, we don't know when they're coming. But God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Take care of today. And so we have to trust. We have to trust. And then we hear, like yesterday, I was upstairs working on the computer doing all the stuff I usually do for the church and came down and got to see Paul flipping hot dogs, you know, and the cookies and the baked goods. And then I saw the people that came around, and as I sat there, I watched people come in and just share and partake. And we don't make it a big religious thing. We don't make it about, you know, you got to come to our church or got to be like us. Just come and have some fellowship. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy a nice, cool place. It's clean and healthy with good food, cheap prices, and they could have a good time. And I saw old and young, and it was just good. So our day and our lives are filled with blessings. Amen. Would you agree? We are a blessed people. We are a blessed community. We're a blessed church. We're a blessed country. And overall, we're a blessed world. And so sometimes, though, I got to be honest, it just in my personal life even, why was I driving down the freeway at 10:30 at night 2 weeks ago, and that poor little deer had to pop out into my lane and crush my car, and I ended up killing it. Why did that have to happen at that moment? Last 2 weeks have been a little stressful. I know my wife is not driving the car of her choice, but we were blessed. Another family in our church responded and said, let us help. And we got a very faithful vehicle for her to get back and forth. It wasn't as pretty, it wasn't as functional, it didn't have all the bells and whistles, but it was a good, solid vehicle. And I felt good knowing my wife was going to work safely. 2 weeks of dealing with car dealers. 2 weeks of dealing with, call me back if you want a bargain. Call me back. And you know that whole dialogue. Do we want to do this? And all this to say this. I have learned in my faith journey of growing as a Christian that the blessings are coming whether I want them or not. Number one, because God will provide. But sometimes I can miss the blessings because I'm not looking for those blessings to happen the way I'm expecting them. Does that make sense? It's easy when I know I need a new car and I'm praying for a new car. I got that. Then we get a new car, we go, oh, I'm blessed. I got what I needed. I got what I wanted. But what about situations like in Minnesota where two kids that go to school are sitting in pews just like you are, and a crazed gunman blows through the window and kills two of them? The sad thing is, from that whole dialogue and that whole discussion, is there were people who came out on the TV and said, I'm tired of, literally this is what they said, I'm not going to paraphrase exactly what they said, but stop your praying. It doesn't do any good. There are people who said that. The governor of the state and one of the big TV pundits on there who's in the news, your prayers and your best wishes and your best feelings, it doesn't matter. It's what they're essentially saying is prayer doesn't matter. Because those kids were praying at the time they were shot and killed. And these people don't understand that. Now, in the mix of all that, in the middle of all this, I have a little brother talking to my big brother and spending time with him at a time when he could be dying soon. My hope of hopes, my prayer of prayers, is that my little brother gets to talk to him about Jesus Christ and my older brother hears that. Forget all the other stuff. Forget all the bells and whistles and the new car, the old car, the deer, the whatever. That's what God cares about at the end of the day. Do you know my son? And that's what counts. And that's the blessing. So blessings, big and small. What appears to you to be big can be small for somebody else. What's small to you could be big for somebody else. But I think we have to stop and ask ourselves, is it possible that we miss blessings because we're not prepared for them? We're not right ready for them. We're not looking for them. And I think I'm going to give you a little simple analogy and go with me on this one. This is a cup, and yes, it has a big Michigan M on the side, Kenny. It's okay. Okay. Michigan won. Alabama did not. Penn State did, yes. We're in our football mode right now. Can you tell? I just grabbed a cup. Just go with it, okay? And this cup is—it's a coffee cup, and we got it a long time ago. And it's a cup, and we would know instinctively what to do with this cup if we walked up to fill it. I go up to my coffee pot, I take the lid off, and I open it up, and I pour the coffee in there, and I put the lid on it. And when I want to drink, it's got this fancy little thing on the top, and I know how to drink it. Now, Pat, what if I grabbed this cup down and I left the lid on it and I poured the coffee on it? What's going to happen? I'm going to make a mess. I'm going to make Carrie mad, but I'm not getting the coffee in the cup. Okay, I'm going to miss the coffee going into the cup for later. I'm not going to have that experience. I'm going to have a whole new experience, and I'm going to have my wife mad at me or somebody. But I got this nice handy cup. I see some strange things when I go to Urbana on the road and in the restaurants and just in life in general. But I've been to a lot of their fast food restaurants, and when they hand you the cup, you go over, the lids are over there. I have yet to see somebody not get that part right. You take the cup out of the rack, and you put it up on the machine, you get the ice, and you fill it up. I have yet to see how crazy it is up there with put the lid up. Has anybody ever seen that before? Somebody, I think we know that if I want the stuff in the cup, I've got to take the lid off to put the cup, the cup there and catch it, right? Well, similarly, in our spiritual lives, our cups are closed off. Our cups are covered. And our ability to catch the blessings from God, to realize their blessings and to accept them and to bring them into our lives, are closed off because we're not prepared. We put lids on things. We close doors. We're not listening. We're not discerning. We're not prepared. And so today we're going to be talking about blessings big and small. If you put up the first reading, we're in Matthew 5, 3 through 10, which talks, that's Jesus teaching about the Beatitudes, the blessings. And then we're going to be in John and a couple other places, but I have an illustration. There was a famous missionary, British missionary named Hudson Taylor. If any of you study church history, Hudson Taylor was a great missionary from the late 1800s. And he literally is the guy or the person that is attributed to opening up China to the gospel. He went there. He was sent by the British church. And he did a lot to spread the gospel in China. And he had this to say. It was from our Daily Bread in 1992. It said this: missionary statesman Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. Let's just stop right there. We could preach on that part right there. He had complete trust in God's faithfulness. I have to be totally honest and transparent. As your pastor, I can't always say that. And I bet you all of us could at least say sometimes we don't have complete trust in God's faithfulness. But this guy did. He said he had complete trust. And in the journal, he wrote this. This is an example of this. He wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect that he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." As I've said many times from this pulpit, where God leads, he provides. The problem is two problems. Are we willing to be led? And do we know that we're being led? And that's two different big issues right there. Are we willing to be led? And are we listening so that we can be led? In John 1:16, it says this: "And from his faithfulness," meaning from God, "we have all received grace upon grace," is what John 1:16 says. We have received grace upon grace. In other words, what John is telling us is we've received all of our blessings. We're going to continue to receive blessings, and God's continuing to provide for us as we have needs. So why do we miss blessings? Why do we feel like we're not being blessed? Why do we feel like they got it, but we didn't? Why do we wonder, am I good enough? Did I do enough stuff? When we know that God's going to provide blessing after blessing after blessing. Next slide, please. John Piper, he's a modern day pastor today, had this to say about the Bible. If you read the Bible and you study it, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you're going to be struck by some differences, some changes, or subtle little things that are different. The Old Testament, New Testament, we know Jesus came, that's about the middle of the Bible, and that we're covered by grace and mercy now, and the blood of Jesus. The Old Testament, they had the laws, they had to do a lot of things, they had to follow the legal teachings of the rabbis. They didn't have Jesus, all these differences. But here's some things that John talked about. He said this: in the Old Testament, it appears from God that it was a come and see religion. God put things out there. He performed miracles. He performed miraculous things. And he moved people's lives in a way of saying, come and see. People were amazed at what God could do through the Israelites. When they conquered, when they worshiped, when the miracles were performed, he says that in the Old Testament, it's a come and see situation. And then miraculously, Jesus came. Again, come and see. What happened when Jesus was born, by the way? Who came out of the fields? The shepherds. Who came from the Far East? The Magi. It's like everybody came to see Jesus. So that's the point, and I think it's pretty true. Everything God did in the Old Testament up to the birth of Jesus was about coming to see what he's doing in the world. In the New Testament, however, we're told by Jesus very quickly, love God with all your heart and all your soul, love your neighbor as yourself, and then go and make disciples. It was different. There's a change. The New Testament is about sharing the blessings that God has given us through his son Jesus and sharing them with the world. Thus, Hudson Taylor, his faith. He knows that God is leading and God will provide. When Carrie and I were missionaries, we learned a lot about faith. We learned a lot about trusting God. Even in the midst of the garbage that happened up in Minnesota, do you think at the end of the day that there won't be some blessings as a result of that? There are possibly people, and I know this for a fact because I've seen it. I've been part of churches, schools. There are people who send their kids to Christian schools, not because they're Christians, because they know it's a better school or a safer school for their kids, and they don't necessarily trust the public school system. There's nothing wrong with that. You hear parents saying, I want to send my kids there because of that reason. They know the education quality is higher. They know the attention of teachers to the students, the ratio is better. Even though they've got to pay for it, they overall, the quality, and I think the results show them, the kids get a better education in the private Christian schools than they do in the public schools. And that's sad. But here's a Catholic church with a school attached to it, and the parents sent their kids faithfully to that school that morning, and now they don't have their kids, two of them. Wow. Now, that's not what the parents expected, of course. We know that. That's not what anybody would expect. But do you not think that out of this there's going to be some blessings? Do you not think that there's going to be lives changed as a result of this? Or impacted in a way? Because sometimes what we have to understand is the reason why there's less, I'm going to show in a minute, the change in the New Testament was about the suffering of Jesus. The suffering of Jesus. Instead of the suffering of the people who had to be given a lot of promises and a lot of things and gifts, we've been given the greatest gift through Jesus Christ, but it's a lot of it and almost entirely based on the suffering that we will all endure or Jesus endured on the cross. Now, as a Christian, what does that mean? I tell this to kids. Why do you teach, Mr. Kanofsky? You used to be had a big job in Boeing, used to live in Southern California, used to have titles. It's never about the money. I do what I do because I love what I do. I do what I do because God has said, go do this. And he's taken care of us. What I have to let go of is what I think I can earn on my own and the trappings of the world. That doesn't buy me anything. However, I'm putting treasure in heaven through the work that I'm doing because I'm trying to be faithful and obedient to God. So, having said that, in the Old Testament, there's a total, some guy measured this. I wouldn't do this. How many promises are there in the Bible? Not just to people, but to angels, angels to God, angels, promises to Satan. If you just count everything that sounds like a promise, there's over 8,800 promises in the Bible, the whole Bible. And the interesting thing is, look at this. In the Old Testament, 7,700 of them are in the Old Testament. So why did God have to promise more in the Old Testament than the New Testament? The big reason? Jesus. Jesus. God doesn't have to provide anything more than Jesus, does he? He doesn't have to give us anything more than Jesus. Jesus is enough. And if you want to look another simple little analogy, the Ten Commandments, how many did Jesus give us? Instead of 10, there's only 2. And if we could just get those 2 right, we could do everything right. We could be in a much better place. We could be in a much better situation. but we struggle with just those two. But why did they have 10? And actually, they had more than that. The Jewish people had lots more than just 10. But there are lots of promises. And I think it has to do with what John's talking about. God had to promise more things because Jesus hadn't come yet. He promised he wasn't going to flood the world again. That's a huge one. He promised he wasn't going to burn down cities again like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. He made a lot. He promised Abraham that out of him was going to become great nations. Moses, he promised Moses to go to the promised land. And Moses saw it, but he didn't get in because he sinned. God made tons of promises because he wanted people to come and see how good he was. And then he gave us his son, Jesus. And that took care of a lot of things right there. That solved a lot of issues. And it's no longer come and see, but what Jesus' word is, go and show. Go and show. Go and show how good God is. Go and show the promises of God. Go and show what it means to be a Christian. That's a lot of promises. I'm not going to count them. I'm going to take his word for it. But I was just amazed when I looked at the difference, the numbers between the Old and the New Testament. All right, next slide, please. So, Matthew 19, we have some problems, though. Some issues. Some things that these aren't in your outline. I just want to bring to your attention. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 8, I'll just put the scripture. It's going to be hard to see, but you can write these notes down. Go ahead. Some Pharisees came to him, Jesus, to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? We know these Pharisees were there trying to trip Jesus up. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. And he said, oh, by the way, that's a great argument about the transgender thing right there. But and he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it is not that way from the beginning. One of the reasons, the primary reasons, our hearts don't receive the blessings, that we don't pick up those blessings, we don't perceive them, we don't discern them, is because our hearts are hardened. And all you got to do is just fill your head with junk. You got to you stop listening to God. You stop hearing and spending time in the Word. You stop fellowshipping, and your heart slowly starts to harden. The world's a cruel place. Amen. Life is hard, and if we are overwhelmed and consumed by the things that are happening in the world, it's inevitable that our heart starts to harden. And when it hardens, it's like that cup. It's like the lid goes right back on the cup. And the blessings don't fill our hearts any longer because we've shut our hearts off. That's one problem. So problem number one is we have hardened hearts. That's one of the reasons why we don't receive blessings, big and small. Number two, next, James 1 through 12, or 1 verse 12, sorry. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Anybody in here ever have a trial? Oh my gosh, if you say no, I gotta wonder. I don't understand. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Of course, we're talking about the test of life. We just need to endure. We need to persevere. We need to understand that it's gonna take some time. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. We will all have trials. So problem number two about receiving blessings is this, lack of faith. There's going to come a time, and I felt this in my own life, as mission, God, is this what you want us to do? I can't tell you, again, this just happened. I can't tell you how many times in my head, in the last 2 weeks alone, I doubted whether we should have gone out to the movies. Why did I'm the one that said, let's go to Savoy. Let's go up the road. And so you could say, well, that's just circumstances, Pastor. Yeah, I get it. And did God set? No. But here's what I do know. When we hit the deer, the car got destroyed. We had to go somewhere, not with the car, but with our spiritual life. We had to put our eyes back on God and to trust him. And God gave us a lesson about trusting him again in our greatest time of need. Now, some of us are saying, well, I got health needs. I got financial needs. All of us are different. We can't compare our blessings, big or small. We can't compare our circumstances. We're all different. But at that moment in our spiritual journey, maybe it was just mine, but it was, I think, for both of us and for my whole family. We needed to trust that God was going to come through and he was going to bless us. Now, we got a beautiful car. The car is gorgeous. And that, for me, I had to learn was patience, because I wanted a car yesterday. I didn't want to wait. And I didn't want to bargain with those guys, Kenny. Don't you love bargaining with those guys, like you said? Yeah, we're right. How many of you like to bargain with car dealers? It's not my favorite activity, Ray. I heard about the quarter, dude. I heard about his quarter deal, so you got to ask him about that when you got a chance. I like to bargain. I like to negotiate. But I can't stand when somebody looks me in the eye and lies to me. And sadly, you can tell. But anyways, that's a different issue. But for us, one of the reasons we miss blessings is because we have a lack of faith. Number three, next one. Luke 10, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Does that sound like any of us? We know we got somebody, the pastor's on his way, you know? We got to get all the dog hair up. We got to do this. We got to get, you know, whatever. We got family coming. We got people coming. We got to be prepared. We got to get ready. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it is not to be taken away from her. Problem number three about why we miss blessings, spiritual immaturity. Even though I can sit there and beat myself up about why we drove up there to go watch a movie, the car got destroyed, whatever, we had a great night. It was fun. We saw a good movie. We enjoyed. We relaxed. It was part of the whole time off and enjoying ourselves and our time together. And in the process of learning about trusting and being patient with God, he was able to teach us some new things. He was able to reinforce that he is in control and it's not us. He was able to reinforce that he will provide for us when we're trusting him to provide. We all go through spurts of immaturity. We might have been all in church. You might sit there and say, I'm in the 40-year club. I'm in the 50-year club. I'm in the 60-year club. But none of you are exempt. None of us are exempt from moments of spiritual immaturity. Because when the rubber hits the road, when the time happens, when we've got a dear family member on the side of the road because something happened in an instant, we're never prepared. We think we are, but we're not. And there's no shame in that unpreparedness. Where the shame is when we're not prepared to do the right thing and to trust God. Spiritual maturity. We all go through this. We all struggle with this. That's how we grow. That's why I stand up here and I make that stupid little analogy all the time. Here's where I am today, and here's where I know I'm supposed to be. Because it's not a straight path, people. Instead of coming over here in simple steps, I go backwards after I've gone forward. And we all do this. It's part of growing. Number four, the next one. I love Philippians. Paul is talking to the Philippians because he loves them. He's sharing with them. And he says this, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord." There is nothing more valuable than knowing Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. "For whose sake I have lost all things. I can't own enough. I can't do enough. I can't have enough degrees on the wall. I can't be smart enough. But I willingly give it all up because God is the greatest thing in my life. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that is which through faith in Jesus Christ." The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Problem number four for all of us when we are not receiving blessings, big and small, or we are struggling to see the blessings in our life is this. Circumstances. All of us have circumstances. All of us struggle with things that come up in life. How do we deal with them? So all these things, even though they're all different, there's four different problems, they're all kind of tied together. Faith, spiritual maturity or immaturity, faith, circumstances, trusting in God. How does this one work? All of us face circumstances. All of us have to deal with stuff. All of us have stuff that's different than everybody else. None of our stuff is the same. And having said that, what we all know, though, is this. Jesus is the answer, and that's what Paul's saying. Our circumstances can be totally different. Totally different. It could be your floor rotting out because your air conditioner leaked. It could be your car getting hit by a deer. It could be health issues. It could be financial issues. Or it could be getting a new car. That's a blessing. Or getting a new job like Carrie just got. It's not lost on me. I say this jokingly. God has a sense of humor. Amen. God has a wonderful sense of humor. And I got to wonder, he's sitting up there, you know, in his Barker Lounger throne, sitting up there watching us struggle, run around like crazy idiots with our heads cut off, when all we have to do is stop and just say, "Thank you." We all do it. We're all doing it. So there's those four problems. Those weren't on your outline. I just wanted to kind of give this, because here's the solution. Here's where we're going. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus teaching on the side of the mountain. And mine is called Introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verses 3. I'll just read it from the beginning. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said this, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" And then a little bit further, he adds another one. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all things, all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Blessed. Blessed. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. This is Jesus talking. Do you hear anything in there, though, that says it's because you gave the most to the church? Did he say anything in there about the number of degrees on the wall? Did he talk about anything about success in the business world? Did he talk about how great you're well-known throughout the world, or your athletic prowess, or your ability to solve difficult equations on the wall? No. No. This is what he said. So next slide, please. In the Beatitudes, there are six things, and these are the blanks that are on yours that I want you to take home. These are the These are the blessings. These are the things. Number one. One of the blessings is we will see God. Now, wait a minute. We just shifted on this, Pastor. What's going on here? The verse says this: blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger. Where does he say this? When we are blessed and we see a blessing, I ought to not necessarily be looking at the blessing only. I mean, I can look out back and I can see a beautiful new car out there. But you know what? I need to see God in that moment. And part of this training, this spiritual maturity that we all go through is not to see the car, that's the physical thing, but to see God's hand on the moment. That car is out there because God blessed my family. And I see God in that. When we see these things happening and these beatitude things that Jesus is talking about, if you don't see God show up, the people in Minneapolis or Minnesota need our prayers. God is going to pour blessings on those broken-spirited people because it doesn't make any sense. But here's the truth. There's evil in this world, is there not? It says in the end times that there will be earthquakes, there'll be fires, there'll be calamities, there'll be wars. Why are we surprised when evil happens or evil things come against us? Especially persecuted because of who we believe in. These are kids, innocent kids, sitting in a Catholic church, in a school, worshiping God, and two of them were killed because of that. And it said very clearly, the crazy shooter that shot him said he hated Christians. The guy was dealing with some mental issues. The guy was dealing with, they don't know. Whether we'll ever know the full story, I doubt it. But just know this, there's evil in the world. And that evil came into a church and took two kids' lives who innocently were just sitting there worshiping God. When we have the right attitude, when we are listening, when we're walking faithfully and we're trusting in God, our goal should not be what's sitting in the parking lot. When we're ready and we're receptive and we're faithful and we are growing in our faith, we ought to see God in all the blessings that he pours out. And I was thinking, is everything that we get every day a blessing? Think about this for a minute. I got up this morning. I'm breathing. I'm seeing. I had a banana for breakfast. You know what, that banana, I didn't grow that banana. We drove here, we got here a little bit fast. That's not the blessing part. We got here safely. We're fellowshipping with you this morning. How many blessings have already happened and we get numb to it? It says when there's two or more gathered in my name, God is here. Do you know that? Through the music, through the reading of scriptures, through the sharing of his word, God is here right now. Do you not see God? One of the reasons we struggle with the receiving blessings is because we're looking at the thing and not God. In the Beatitudes, Jesus is very clear saying, you will see God if it's truly a blessing. Number two, we will be shown mercy. Oof. When we are faithful, when we follow God, when we trust in him, and we live our lives for him, we're going to be shown mercy. That mercy and grace, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But he's given it to us as a free gift through his son, Jesus. Thirdly, according to Jesus, we're going to be part of God's family. My family growing up, it wasn't the Brady Bunch. You know, we didn't do that. We didn't have the Nine or the Partridge Family or the, who are the other families? Leave It to Beaver, Dennis Menace, yeah. All these wonderful families on TV that supposedly had it all together. They had struggles. My family was not that perfect. We had our issues, we had our problems, struggles, but they were my family. I look around here and I see my church family. It's different. We're not looking at the same thing. We're seeing brothers and sisters who will have my back and pray for me. And I pray for you and I love you. And we do things together because we serve a great God. This is incredible. When we, all you got to do is read the end of the Bible. When Jesus comes and he conquers the world, and it's all believers, there's no more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, and we're all brothers and sisters. We're not fighting, we're not arguing, we're all part of the family. Number four, in Jesus' Beatitudes, we're going to find out we will experience God's comfort. Now, I'm trying to figure out what that means for a long time. You know, is it like you put an insole in your boot or your shoe because your foot sore from walking or standing all day? No. God's comfort is the knowledge and the experience of knowing that you're in a perfect place. There's no more death, no more hunger, no more strife, no more pain, no more suffering. And it's in that, it's not a bubble because it's going to be everywhere. When we walk through the new heaven, it's a new experience. That's God's comfort. When I think of heaven, that's God's comfort. That's the place I want to aspire to go. And because I'm a believer in Christ, God guarantees it. He promises it that. Number five, Jesus says we'll inherit the world. We will inherit the world. Now, okay, that's a pretty big place. There's a lot of responsibility. What does that mean? It says we, meaning we the church, believers. We not only will have fellowship with each other, but we're going to inherit the world. Sin is going to be gone. Evil is going to be gone. Satan is going to be gone. The world will be a different place, much like it was supposed to be in the beginning. And then lastly, number six, there was a typo there. We'll be satisfied with his righteousness. That's what it says. It said that right at the end. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness. Our soul and our spirits will be satisfied with God's final solution. And what that really means is this. It's going to feel right. It's going to feel perfect. Our spirits and our souls are hungering for that connection. It's much like if you go to a situation, maybe it's a place, it's a party, or it's an event going on, and you get that sense in your body that things aren't okay. Something's wrong. Something's off. Maybe you don't feel safe. Maybe something is just not right. That's going to be gone. We're going to be in a place where we can trust everybody. We're not going to go to car salesman and get lied to. We're not going to go to a doctor who's telling us one thing when really, who knows where they're getting their information from. We can pick up a newspaper and we'll be able to trust it. It'll be telling the truth. We can listen to politicians or leaders and trust in the integrity of what they're telling us. It's going to be right with our soul. We sing that in our hymns. That's what righteousness means. This list right here of what Jesus is talking about, blessed be those. We're going to have some suffering because of our time here. But this is where our eyes need to be. One of the reasons that I think we don't receive the blessings is because we put our eyes on this and we put our eyes on this. And we forget what's going inside. And when we forget that, we put the lid on it. We try to pour coffee. Almost got in the basket. We don't achieve what we need. And we wonder why we miss it. Next, here's our closing. I recently read about an old man walking at the beach at dawn. He noticed a young man ahead of him picking up starfish off the beach and flinging them back in the sea. Catching up with the youth, he asked him what he was doing. And the answer was that the stranded starfish would die if left in the morning sun. But the beach goes on for miles and miles, and there are millions of starfish, countered the old man. How can your effort make any difference? The young man looked at the starfish in his hand, threw it in the waves, and said, makes a difference to this one. Makes a difference to this one. So here's your challenge this week. Count your blessings today. Count your blessings today. So that means actively stopping and thinking about the blessings. The blessings should draw your attention to God. The blessings should feel right in your spirit. It should increase your faith. It should increase your trustworthiness in God. It increases things like fellowship. Then you know you're connecting. Then you know you're connecting. We need to count our blessings today. I think if we don't, if we get so callous and so blinded that every day we're getting these blessings that we don't even count them, we don't even think about them, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. And I don't want us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for our church. I thank you for our worship team. I thank you for the hearty souls that are here that are willing to put in the tough hours and the hard work. Thank you, Father, that we don't just give lip service and that we are just Christians in name only, but we do and we serve. Father, thank you for everybody who contributes here and everybody who participates, whether it's downstairs, upstairs, wherever. But Father, I thank you for your son Jesus, first and foremost, that he willingly went to the cross and died for us out of not a sense of service or obligation, but because he loved you. Lord, I love that relationship. I love that modeling of behavior, that's what we're to do. And that I don't want to miss blessings because of that, of what the hardness of my heart or my circumstances. Father, we say thank you. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for your plan of action that's coming. And first of all, I thank you again most earnestly for your son, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We say thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.